The text is the Gospel reading from St. John. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Here ends our text. Gotthold Lessing was an 18th century German writer. He said, Not all are free who make mock of their chains. I hesitate to quote him because he promoted the Enlightenment and rationalism, and the words I quote, he aimed at religion as superstition. But I think they can be pressed into the service of our text. The truth presented in our text is that none are free, and no amount of mocking can make them so. Surely you know enough Old Testament history to see how ridiculous the Jews sounded when they said, We have never been slaves of anyone. What about their enslavement to the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Syrians, and the Romans? How can they stand before Jesus with a straight face and say, We have never been enslaved? That's like the Aggie saying, We've never lost to UT, or the French claiming, We never lost a war. They may mock their defeats, but that doesn't undo them. Yet we do the same thing. As the Jews were able to conveniently forget about centuries of slavery, so all men forget about their sins, and the person who sins is a slave of sin, as surely as the Jews were slaves to their many masters. That's what Jesus plainly says. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's not quite what the Greek says. It says everyone who sins is a slave to that sin. If you're hearing this preaching of the law, you should gasp, you should gulp, you should at least sigh. How many masters must you have, sinner? What sort of taskmasters are worry, greed, lust, fear, doubt, and more? The plain truth is that addiction is not the condition of the few, but all. Go ahead and mock those weak people who are addicted to alcohol, drugs, sex, food, whatever. Not all are free who make mock the chains of others. In fact, none are. Everyone who sins has that sin as their taskmaster. Isn't that Paul's lament in Romans 7? The good I want to do, I don't do that. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I do. What's that but slavery? What's that but addiction? And what and when can an addict be helped? Only when they're as good as dead. Only when they despair of ever breaking their addiction themselves. Only when they admit they are enslaved and all the mocking in the world won't break those chains. And now, we're to the festival we're celebrating. The medieval theology Luther confessed against is the same theology that Jesus was up against in our text and we confront today in evangelical and Catholic circles. This theology is summed up in these short sayings from the Middle Ages. God does not deny grace to the man who does his best. When man fulfills his obligation to God, God will respond by bestowing the gift of justifying grace. Man is required to desist from consenting to sin, and as a consequence of this, God will remit his sin. To those who do what is in them, God will not deny grace. Last week we heard that the Jews thought that they did their best. They did what was in them, while those tax collectors and those prostitutes, they didn't. So the tax collectors and prostitutes, they certainly couldn't be saved. The Catholic Catechism says that if Jews and Muslims pursue the faith they hold sincerely, well, they can be saved in that faith. Evangelicals tell you, if you'll do your part of believing, your part of choosing Jesus, your part of trying your hardest to break with your sin, your part of giving your first fruits to God, well then God will do His part of saving you. None of these believe that they're enslaved by sin, addicted to sin. They mock the chains that are so heavy on you and bite so into your soul. They make it sound that your chains are in your mind or that they are better than you because they can mock theirs and you can't. No. No one can truly mock their chains until they've really been freed from them. This is what Jesus promised the Jews, and this is what they rejected, preferring to go on mocking their chains rather than real freedom from them. How about you? None are free from their chains except those set free by Jesus. Jesus is the Son. The text does not say a son. Jesus isn't interested in talking about any old son, but about the only begotten Son of the Father from eternity. He says, the slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. Therefore, if ever the Son should free you, really free you will be. Jesus, as God the Son, had the right to remain in the house of His Father forever. It's His house. Remember, He said, I and the Father are one. What belongs to Him belongs to me. But God the Son left the house to take on flesh and blood in the Virgin Mary. He willingly was born under the law. He willingly took on all the obligations of the law, all the Ten Commandments, all the things that you and I are supposed to do all of the time. And as a man, Jesus did them perfectly. He didn't break one commandment. He didn't fail to meet one obligation. Not the devil himself could find anything even amiss in the life of Jesus. As a man, Jesus won the right to remain forever in the house of His Father. He always had that right as true God. Now He had won it as true man. Jesus completed, fulfilled the law that could only forge more chains for us. The strength of sin is the law, says St. Paul. Every time we broke another law, another length of chain was fastened to us. But watch this. Christ is the end of the law, says St. Paul, to all who believe. Where there is no law, no more chains can be formed. There is no condemnation. There are no more chains forged to them that are in Christ Jesus, says Paul. But Jesus did more than take our place under the obligations of the law. He took our place under its punishments. Jesus took our chains upon Himself. He wrapped Himself in them, Jacob Marley-like. He took the chains of sin, guilt, drugs, booze, sex. He took the chains of always having to be right. He took the chain of worry that weighs you down so when you just can't break it. He took the chain of greed and lust that perch on your heart like gargoyles, mocking you. Jesus took all your chains, indeed He took the chains of the entire world, and answered for them. And what other answer can there be for chains of sin but judgment, sentence, punishment, damnation? Yes, you and I were bound to serve our sins and our sinfulness until Jesus carried them away from us. You and I were bound to regard ourselves as addicts, as slaves of sin, until Jesus fulfilled the law's demands and punishments, breaking their power over us. The slave masters of sin, death, and the devil can't point to one commandment that Jesus failed to keep in your place or one punishment that He didn't bear in your place. Therefore, they have no hold over you. The person and work of Jesus has opened the cell that you were imprisoned in. Walk out. Run out. Don't look back. You are free. For freedom Christ has set you free, Paul trumpets. How does one walk or run out? By believing that for Jesus' sake, the door is wide open. I can't push you out the door. I can't kick you out the door. I can only promise you, I can only assure you, or with Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, I can implore you on behalf of Christ to mock those chains of sin and sinfulness that lay broken at your feet in Jesus' name. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of your chains, says Scripture. To them that believe, and it is here we Lutherans can go awry. We want to put everything on faith rather than on Jesus where it belongs. First, consider our text. The very first verse has Jesus saying, has Jesus speaking to the Jews who had believed in him. But skip to verse 40, and you'll hear that they wanted to kill Jesus. Then go to verse 43, where Jesus says they can no longer bear to hear his words. Then move to verse 45, where Jesus says, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Then finally go to verse 47, where Jesus tells them, the reason why you do not hear the words of God is that you are not of God. Don't put all your eggs in the basket of your believing, for you never get beyond the words of the man who proclaimed, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You never get beyond the apostles in Matthew 28, when seeing Jesus after the resurrection, the text says of them, they worship, they doubted. If you focus on the mustard seed-sized faith the Holy Spirit has created in you by word and sacraments, well, it's only going to shrivel up. Or worse yet, you will think of that faith as you doing your part, as you doing what lies within you, as you doing your best. And that's the very error the Lutheran Reformation broke free from. Now go back to the text. Jesus never says that believing or faith sets you free. It's true that faith steps through the door of the prison cell, but it doesn't open it. No, the cell has to be opened first before faith can step through. In our text, Jesus says, the truth will set you free, and the Son sets you free. Jesus is not saying two different things. Jesus, who declares himself later on in John to be not only the way and the life, but the truth, says here that he's the one, he's the only one who can free them and us. He can't free people from chains they mock as if they weren't there. He can only free people from chains they despair over, as Paul did in Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I've said before that this could be a reference to the Roman practice of chaining a murderer to the dead body of the person he murdered, so he would see, smell, touch, and taste it as it rotted away, driving him insane in the process. In the end, it is me, myself, and I that I'm chained to. The chains of sin that are all wrapped around me bind me to my sinful nature, my old Adam. And I, with Paul, can't free myself. Jesus bids me come to him. Only he can free me. I can't separate where my sinful old Adam ends and where my new holy man begins. Jesus can. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide what is impossible for me to. By his word, preached, taught, read, Jesus hammers away at the old Adam while freeing and feeding the new man. At the baptismal font, Jesus drowns that old Adam in his chains and brings out the new man, holy and righteous in his sight. And what about at the altar? Here Jesus comes once more in person to join you in the fight of faith against your chains, strengthening and preserving you with his body and blood. Jesus breaks the chains to self. And as Augustine puts it, where I am not I am more happily I. It's true, not all are free who mock their chains, but those in Christ are. Amen. Now, the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. We sing the offertory.